fellowship. Stand with us tonight, if you would. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 2 and verse number 8. Revelation 2, verse number 8. Brother Tim, would you read that for us tonight, brother? Revelation 2, verse 8 through 11. Amen. Thank you for standing tonight. We'll talk about four areas of this letter. Here is the Lord has instructed John to write. He writes to a church of Smyrna, and it's unlike any of the other churches. The Lord had no condemnation to say to them or any things that they need to do. He just talked with them about staying in the fight, keeping the faith, and going on for the Lord Jesus. There's four things here in this letter tonight to Smyrna. I want to talk about a preeminent trust. Then I want to talk about a past testimony. Then a present test, and then a prominent truth. Now let's note, first of all, this preeminent trust. Look what he said in verse 8, "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." And he's talking about the Lord Jesus. We're blessed people tonight to have a God that walked in the grave and walked out. And therefore, because He led the way, it gives us an insured trust tonight that there is a way, there is hope beyond the grave. But wouldn't it be terrible to be this awful to be serving a God tonight that you had no hope beyond the grave? You remember when Lazarus had died, Mary and Martha were upset. And so Jesus came to their town. He said, "Master, if you'd been here, our brother wouldn't have died." And that's probably true, because you'll notice that no place in the presence of Jesus all through your Bible did anybody ever die. Why? Because He's the resurrection and the life. You know the thieves on the cross, Jesus died for her. Friend, they couldn't die in His presence. Aren't you glad we've got a God tonight that brings life? I'm glad one day He came to me and imparted to me life. Oh, I'm grateful for that, that we have a trust tonight. Preeminent trust. Look how He reveals Himself. He said, He's the first and the last. Now, He's going to have the last say-so. There's a lot of folks who want to shake their fist in the face of God like they're going to have the last say. But you always remember that He's going to have the last say. He's the first and the last. And by the way, that ought to be the concept of our total church tonight. He's first and He's last. He's everything in between. He's A to Z. There's nothing He can't be for you tonight. And there's nothing He can't be for me. A preeminent trust. How He reveals Himself. Watch this. He said that He passed through suffering. He said, the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. His life was not taken from Him. He gave His life. Those Roman soldiers didn't take the life of Jesus. And we didn't take the life of Jesus. And the devil certainly didn't take the life of Jesus. But He laid down His life. He could have called 12 legions of angels at any time to come and rescue Him. And oh, tonight, this preeminent trust. He reveals Himself. And then secondly, He's talking to this great church and He relates Himself. He said this. He said, "I'm the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." My goodness, I'm glad that He can relate to us in the feeling of our infirmities. Now, have you ever talked to somebody and you've shared your heart with them And you know, the whole time you're talking to them, they just couldn't relate to where you are. Some of you tonight, you've shared some things with me that I can't relate to, some things that you went through and some things that I've went through. You can't relate to those. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus can relate to where we are tonight. This church was persecuted in a way that no church had ever been persecuted. And we find out that Jesus is revealing Himself and He relates Himself. He says He is able to sympathize. In Hebrews 2 and verse number 18, I'm glad I got somebody that I can talk to that cares. Amen. Hebrews 2 and 18. Some of us whine so much, people get tired of our whining and they tell us to move on. Amen. But aren't you glad that Jesus can relate to us and He hears and He cares? You know something, if you cry wolf, wolf, wolf all the time, it's not no wolf. Then when the wolf comes, ain't nobody going to listen to you wolf. Amen. But oh, Jesus cares. And we see in Hebrews 2 and verse number 18, He said, "For in that He Himself hath suffered, being tempted, He's able to secure them that are tempted." That word means to aid or to help or to resolve. Boy, aren't you glad that He can come to your rescue tonight? He relates Himself. He's able to sympathize. In Hebrews 4 and verse 15, He's setting the groundwork to this church to let them know that He can sympathize with what they're going through because He suffered. And in Hebrews 4 and verse 15, the Bible says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Christ never known sin. Isn't that amazing? Walked through this world nearly 33 years. My goodness, never had known sin. The things that tempted Him that tempts me and you, but it was something different. He was the God-man, and He had never known sin. He said, "Was tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He knows what you're going through. He knows what I'm going through. "Now let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I'm glad that Jesus reveals Himself. He said, "I walked through death and I got out," but then Jesus relates Himself. He said, "I'm able to sympathize with you." Now, this church at Smyrna, it comes from a root word of Hebrew that means bitterness. Bitterness. It has the meaning of suffering. And certainly the Lord Jesus, we see in Matthew 2 and verse number 11, He was a man acquainted with great grief. In Matthew 2 and verse number 11, you'll find this basic word. "They were come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother, fell down and worshipped Him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented to Him gifts, gold, frankincense," and here this word is myrrh, a representation of death or sorrow or bitterness. And here Jesus is telling them, "Look, I can relate to your bitterness. I can relate to your suffering. I can relate to the things that's going on in your life. Because when I was born, they brought to me myrrh," showing a life of sorrow and a life of bitterness. "Then on the cross, they gave Him myrrh mingled. And then at the death and at His burial, Joseph of Arimathea came and buried Him," what? "And with frankincense and myrrh." His total life was that of suffering and sacrifice. He said, "Listen, I can relate to what you're going through." He said, "Not only is there a preeminent trust," but in verse 9, He said, "There is a past testimony." Look what He said. "I know your works in tribulation and poverty. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer." There's a past testimony. Now in this church, this time was extended to around 312 A.D. It was a time of great persecution. Many were crucified. Many Christians were set on fire. Many were fed to lions. And there's such a past testimony for those that stood for the stuff. You know the reason that we have a Baptist church in our community tonight? Of course, there were some men that laid groundwork in this community that could take some adversarial slurs and some slayers, could take some things from a community and stand for the Lord Jesus and just keep on going for the glory of God. Aren't you glad that the folks have got a past testimony that they didn't throw a towel in? My goodness, our little wall stings and our little mosquito bites knock us out about 2 weeks from church. We got a bump come up on Grandma's nose. We lay out about 3 Sundays. But honey, the Lord Jesus suffered for us and He had glue in His britches for the Lord. We ought to get us some guts tonight and stand for what's right and be faithful in these last days. There's a generation coming that's going to count on us preaching the gospel, worshiping the Lord Jesus, and standing for what's right. And I hope to God in heaven this thing don't turn into Jehovah Witness Club after I'm dead and gone. Thank God for a past testimony of people that I've run through in my life. My goodness, a lot of us are so whiny, we have no idea what it is to be persecuted as a Christian. He says, I know your works and your tribulation and poverty. And by the way, He said, I know you didn't get rich serving me. But it ain't what you see. They was a poor rich church. Laodicea was a rich poor church. The day in which we live, most churches have everything but the key ingredient, the Lord Jesus Christ. My goodness, it amazes me that all these boys on TV preaching this health and prosperity gospel, and if you serve Jesus, you're not going to have no problems and health and wealth and all your bills are going to be paid and you're going to have piles of money in the bank. All that ain't in our Bible. Yeah, God blesses us. Yes, He does. But friend, let me tell you, there's some things money can't buy tonight. And I thank the Lord for it. And so He says this past testimony. My goodness, could you imagine? They said Nero dipped Christians in tar. Put them on his fence post all the way up to his castle, to his lodging, and set them afire and burned the pathway with Christians all the way down the road. Could you imagine that kind of life? And we think when somebody said something hateful to us or mean to us about being a Christian, well, we just want to absolutely act like the world's come to an end. Amen? My goodness, a past testimony. Hebrews 11:32. Let's look what the Bible says here. Hebrews 11:32. Folks, we have never ever lived in a better day than what we're living. Yes, I know things are tough out there, but it's good in here tonight. We talk about we're in a great recession. I went by the Olive Garden last night, 7 o'clock, Anson, Alabama. Folks was elbow to elbow in the parking lot. Don't look like a recession to me. If it's a recession, you wouldn't see all these possums on the side of the road. Amen. It ain't hard as folks say it is. I mean, roadkill would be pretty good when you got hungry. Amen. We ain't hardly got there yet. We want to bellyache and complain. Hebrews 11:32. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, and they were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, been destituted and afflicted and tormented. But I'm glad they didn't give up. Amen. I'm glad some mom and daddies, when things get tough, they don't give up. Let me tell you tonight, if you raise a children and any little thing knocks you out and gets you unfaithful, you're going to raise a generation just like you. Amen. Past testimony. My goodness. It's amazing what they suffered. So He says, I know your works and your tribulation and your poverty. But He said, but thou art rich. He said, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. They were in a town where the synagogue of Satan was. My goodness, that's unbelievable. Could you imagine the demonic warfare that the early Christians experienced? And we can get in a in a nice automobile and cut the air on the coldest, the setting on about 4, get everything just right, and we want to pout and complain because we got it so good. Isn't it amazing? I mean, sometimes in life, you really got to look at the perspective of things. Yeah, times may be hard, and I know. But let me tell you something. If your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight, you've got everything. I've got everything tonight. I got riches above that nobody can break through and steal tonight. I got riches laid up there where it cannot rust or rot or thieves break through and steal. Thank God we're blessed tonight. He says, you know what? He says, but thou art rich. Them big houses and all that lifestyle, I promise you this, it ain't what it all cracked up to be. You ever notice how these entertainers have all these millions? What was Michael Jackson's rent a month? $100,000 for a house to live in? Don't you see how poor and pitiful that kind of lifestyle is? And everybody says, boy, I want my young'un to be a movie star. You really don't. You're not willing to pay the price of what that costs, really. You say, boy, I would love to have millions. You probably really wouldn't. Because things come with them. Jesus said, you may be broke down here and you may be persecuted, but he said, you're rich. And Lord, we ought to shout all the way to the bank and thank God that we are rich. How we've been made rich? Have you ever noticed this? If not, you will. Have you ever noticed the more you get, the more people you have lined up trying to get it from you? Boy, I'm glad my riches are in safekeeping tonight. Lord, we've got it made. And you know, we see this past testimony, but then in verse 10, notice this present test. This present test. He said, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Now, I believe it's two applications of the book of Revelation. One, there was a certain time that this was written prophetically. It can be applied to today. I believe every word in this Bible can be applied to us in the day that we live. And he says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. A present test. Did you know that every Christian, Jesus says that you have a cross? In Luke 9 and 23, and I'm convinced we're not going to get out of here without a cross. Luke 9 and 23, the Bible said, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, he said at the price, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And that cross is a heavy cross. It is a handed cross. You'll notice this. He said it's just right there presented to you. Now, the Lord is sure to know what we can bear. He's not going to put on us more than we can handle. Look in Luke 14 and 27. There's a daily cross, but then there's a disciples' cross in Luke 14, 27. Brother Jonathan preached the other night from here. Look what he said. Luke 14, 27. Whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. There's a lot of followers, but there's not many disciples. For which of you intended to build a tower, setteth not down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Verse 31, or what king going to make war against another king, setteth not down first, consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. If you're going to follow Christ, you're going to have some persecution. You're not going to make everybody happy. There's going to be people come to your family gatherings. They're going to do things that you don't approve of, and you're going to make them mad. You know why? Because you won't run with them, and you won't do the things that they want to do. You know why? Because it goes against this book. And when you stand for this book, it's a two-edged sword. It's going to cut somebody. I done found out preaching and living out of this book, you can't make everybody you come in contact with happy. So the best thing you can do is be sure you're making him happy, doing what he wants you to do, and go on for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this. This present test. John 16:33. Look what he said to his disciples now. John 16:33. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you ought to underline this, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And then he said in 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. A present test. Then 1 Peter 4:16. 1 Peter 4:16. A present test. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. We live in a society where they love to roast a Christian. You notice that? They love to poke and prod and make fun of you being a Christian. I guarantee you, if you live like this Bible tells you live on your job, they make fun of you. I was at a business meeting one time. A lot of great dignitaries sitting around. They began to pat me on the back about some accomplishments. I said, I ain't done nothing. The Lord Jesus allowed me to do all this. And boy, they heckled me. I mean, they made fun of me. And you know something? If you live for Jesus, people ain't going to pat you on the back much. And young couples, it'll probably come a time when you're going to have to draw a line in the sand whether you're going to be with mom and daddy or brother and sister, aunt and uncle, or you're going to live for Jesus. You're going to have to draw a line in the sand about your buddies and your friends. Because I'm going to tell you, if you stand for this book, you're going to offend some people. And you're going to have to make a stand. God will make you make a stand to show you what you got and who you are. But you know something? Let them old friends go. Look around tonight. Get you some of these friends. Lord, way some of you looking tonight, I don't know if they want you as your friend or not. Praise God. You're looking down like it ain't no hot dogs out there or something. Lord Jesus, y'all a sad looking bunch. But you're going to have to determine in your heart if you're going to be a Christian and if you're going to worship God in spirit and in truth, everybody ain't going to send you a postcard on Monday mornings. They'll say, why you got to go to church 3 days a week? Because Jesus says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Well, you pay tithes to that church down there? Yeah, Jesus said, give your money to him. You mean you pray about everything? That's good advice. He said, you shall suffer persecution. But look what he says right there in 1 Peter. If any man suffers a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time's come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer, that means a usually painful, them that suffer according to the will of God. Ain't that amazing? It is even God's will sometime that we suffer. Commit the keeping their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. A preeminent trust. Jesus said, I'm the first and the last. You can trust me. He said, I know what you're going through. I'll never leave you nor forsake. There's a past testimony. I'm glad some folks stood for the stuff. Aren't you glad everybody just didn't close their Bible and go home? When they got to burning them Christians, I wonder tonight, I wonder really, Brother Dennis. Brother Tim, I really wonder this tonight. How many of us would be a martyr for Christ tonight if it come right down to it? If a man walked down this aisle pointed a gun to me tonight and said, Preacher, deny Christ or I'm going to kill you, what would I do? What would you do tonight? We ought to be so sold out for Jesus, it's unbelievable. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about Baptist. All I'm talking about is standing for Jesus and this book right here. Been a lot of people gave their life for it. But you notice what Jesus said in closing tonight. Not only here do we see this present test, but look at this prominent truth, and I'll be done. Back at that text in verse number 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. And by the way, he is a real devil. And he'll try to trip you up. He's the father. You know what's amazing to me about serving God? I've learned about the devil. Brother Hugh, you know what amazes me about the devil? How he can tell a lie and make you believe it. He's the father of lies. Boy, he'll tell you something and he'll get you believing it, and it's hogwash. He said, Satan, he said, when some of you tried, you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. A prominent truth. There's two truths here I want to share with you. First of all, you'll notice this. He said, I'll give you, if you'll stay faithful to me until death, the crown of life. I want to stay faithful to death. Whether God calls me out by a heart attack, by old age, or whether I die a martyr's death, I want to stay faithful till death. He said, I'm going to give you a crown of life. There's 5 crowns you can obtain. And I wonder tonight, this crown of life is for those who are devoted to Jesus. There's an incorruptible crown for those who live disciplined lives. There's a crown of rejoicing for those who've directed others to Jesus. There's a crown of righteousness for those who've had determined faith. And there's the crown of glory in 1 Peter is the pastor's crown. But he's talking here tonight, this crown of life. There's a prominent truth about life and then about death. Look what he says in verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Did you know this? That if you're born once, you'll die twice. But if you're born twice, you'll die once. Look what he says over here at this second death. What is the second death, preacher? And I close. Revelation chapter number 20. A prominent truth about life and about death. The devil that deceived them, boy, any a trickery, was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne. What's going on, preacher? This is the judgment bar of God where the lost stand. He said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. See, he is the first and the last. And there was found no place for them. So I saw the dead. They done died. Small and great stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And here it is, and the dead, they've died once, were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. You know them people that fell off them cruise ships and never could find them? God knows where they are. Those fighter pilots were shot down out there? God knows where they are. And he said, was delivered up. Sea gave up the dead. Death and hell, my goodness, delivered up the dead which was in them. Can you imagine? And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. My God, won't that be something that they'll just die forever but never die? And we're going to live forever. Could you imagine? Have you ever, I don't know of anything worse than a burn. I got burnt Monday. And I mean, it was absolutely, I mean, it's unimaginable. Can you imagine leaving this environment as good as we got tonight and put in hell, and one day hell's delivered up and put in the lake of fire, and that's the second death. There's no God there, friend. You know, people talk, the worst thing about hell's no God there. I don't know about all that. I'm just being honest with you. The Bible said it burns as a lake of fire. I don't want to burn forever. Now, I don't want to play down God not being there. But you know what I'm saying tonight? I'd hate to know that I was dipped in a tar vat and set on fire for eternity. But if you don't get saved, that's where you're going. And ain't this amazing, folks? Carol Willity Insurance, Carrollton, Georgia, send me a bill in about 3 weeks. Everything I've got insured. I've got fire insurance on it. And you know, it's amazing what I have to pay. But you know what Jesus said? I paid the price, and all you've got to do is take the best policy I know. Isn't that amazing? People insure their cars and their homes and their things, but they don't insure their life. That's always amazing. Even as a young preacher, that always amazed me how people had their priorities wrong. Folks, don't let eternity find you unless you've been born again. Jesus said you must be born again. Aren't you glad of this wonderful truth? Lord, we're saved forever. And we are overcomers through Christ. And that thing of that white throne judgment and that second death don't apply to us. My goodness, while the ages live, we're going to get a new body. We're going to know each other. We're known as we're known. I'll know Brother Gerald. I'll know Brother Mike. I'll know Brother Randall. I'll know Brother Adam. We're known as we're known. Can you imagine when we get in our glorified body into glory? What a time we're going to have. It's all because of Him. The first and the last. Boy, I'm glad we're in safekeeping with Him tonight, aren't you? So you know something? You're going to be persecuted as a Christian. Stand with the stuff. He said, rejoice if you suffer as being a Christian. Isn't it sad where America's headed tonight? My goodness, used to be a total Christian nation. Look how fast it's leaving. I don't know if you realize this or not, and maybe it's because it's my life, and I guess maybe I ought to see more than some of you see. But this world's fastly leaving. Can you imagine, can you remember in the 60s, in the first grade or so, your school teacher would lead by prayer, pledge allegiance, one nation under God. Ball games, everybody prayed. Boy, isn't it amazing how they just take a little bit at a time. Say, and I'm going to tell you something. We're to pray for our president, but you watch what's happened. You that'll be with me here in 15, 20 years, you watch this and you put it in your Bible because I said it tonight. You'll see the day that I'll either quit preaching the way I preach today, or I'll be locked up for telling what I tell today. When I get on the radio and the internet and tell people they'll die and go to hell without Jesus, and that Muslims is not our brother and sisters, which is the greatest maintaining religion happening in our country tonight, they'll lock me up because of slander and hate crimes. And it's nothing but the truth of the gospel. And it's coming to our country. Isn't that sad? Your little old young'un's got to go to a school. Isn't it sad that they've got to go into a society? And you know what amazes me? And listen, we just go eat our ice cream. This is what is just amazing to me. There was a lady called a woman that worked with my wife this week. A predominant church in Carrollton that's supposed to be standing for the old ways. And it probably wouldn't amaze some of you, but it would some of you. You know what they're inquiring about from another woman going to start in their church now? A drama team. Let me tell you people something tonight. I don't care if it gets down to five. I don't care. Let me tell you something. Jesus never built His church for entertainment. And these mega churches, they're flocking in for entertainment. Preaching brings conviction. He chose the foolishness of preaching. The Word. The devil's slowly taking the Word out of our churches. It will amaze you the churches has quit preaching. And I know this ain't the only church preaching. I'm not on that bandwagon. I'm trying to manifest these things to show you where we're living. And what's happening in our society and in our town. And if you stand for this Bible, you're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be shot at and fired at. And I wish you'd pray for me that my skin would get a little tougher. Because, buddy, the darts is flying in this town. But you know what? I praise His good name. Them little young'uns come around and drop that money in that bucket on Sunday morning. It's worth it. And you that love God and want something for your life, it's worth it. And them that don't want a church like this church, let them go find one that suits them. I just had a family said, why don't you change that whole church? But Phil, how do I lead a people in something I don't even believe? These people amaze me how they know how to pastor a church and never done it. Everybody knows how to handle that bear. Amen. Some of you know what you'd say and what you'd do. Lord, we'd sure enough have a mess, wouldn't we? Stand up. You'd be praying Wednesday night for Brother Seamster. He'll be in preaching.